This is Glenn Ford. Those battle noises you hear in the background are coming from the Universal Studios Sound Department, where we're completing production on a film to be called Midway. It's the story of that epic battle far out in the lonely Pacific in 1942. The United States, the whole world, was at war then. But it was at Midway that the tide would turn. America, ill-prepared and unready when attacked, had only then built up enough strength to challenge one of her enemies and go on the offensive. The chances, the odds against success, were not good. The margin of difference was leadership. There was a remarkable, dedicated, small group of able, well-prepared, courageous men, and one of them was Admiral Raymond A. Spruance. Now, he was a quiet, shy, even poetic at times sort of man, but he was an intellectual, and first and foremost, he was a professional naval officer. He had great confidence in himself and the men he led, and they had equal confidence in him. He was disciplined. He had learned carefully. He had even gone to the extreme of putting himself in the role of those who might lead an enemy force against him. He thought as they would. He planned attacks with the capabilities they had as his adversaries, then set about with tactics and strategies which would overwhelm them. Now, considering the size of that Japanese task force against us, I marvel to this day that we did attempt so much. I marvel even more that we won. Now, from Midway, June 3rd to 6th, 1942, forward to the end of that great war, each day the Pacific Ocean was less theirs and more ours. They eventually surrendered it all on another Navy ship in Tokyo Bay itself. Now, all those years in between, but with the memories still fresh, Universal Studio, Walter Mirsch Productions, has given me the great honor of playing the part of that same Admiral Spruance. The Spruance who led those brave men, who won that decisive Midway battle and many others. It was a massive expedition, afloat from atoll to island across the greatest of oceans. Our film, the one you hear being built there in the background, will be released in 1976. Midway, the battle and the leadership, is both high adventure and an inspiration. The film industry's tribute to the bicentennial of these United States. It's one thing for me, Glenn Ford, now a reserve captain in the United States Navy, or actor, if you will, to be cast in the role of a revered leader and to speak personally of Admiral Spruance. Our film, Midway, will relight the eyes of all men who wore their country's uniform. It is also a restatement of how some amongst us must ready ourselves to be called up for some crucial place in history. Because Admiral Spruance was the special kind of leader he was, the United States Navy is bringing into being 30 of the most modern destroyers in the world. They are to be, all of them, of the Spruance class. The first of them, commissioned September the 20th, 1975, at the Ingalls Shipbuilding Division of Litton Industries at Pascagoula, Mississippi, is the USS Spruance. Let's shift our attention to the Gulf Coast and listen in on the commissioning ceremony. In the tradition of ships and men committed to the vastness of oceans and seas, first to be heard is the Navy chaplain, Lieutenant Commander Carson.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessings of peace and prosperity prevailed in our land, we come invoking thy blessing on the United States ship Spruance at her commissioning. Today, as her pennant is unfurled, we ask thee to solemnly bless this occasion and to permit this ship, her officers and her men, to serve their country well as she takes to the sea to face enemies who may threaten our shores. And as she joins our great fleet, permit her to write a bright and glorious page in the annals of the United States Navy. Amen.
Next, there is Captain William McGarra, supervisor of shipbuilding, conversion, and repair at Pascagoula, who will introduce the distinguished guests.
Secretary Clements, Captain Harbrack, Mrs. Spruance, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to welcome you to this ceremony today for our many out-of-town guests, like also like to take the opportunity to welcome you to Pascagoula on behalf of the many Navy people who have found this to be a very pleasant place to live and work. Today is a day of many firsts. We are commissioning the first of a new class of warships, the first major gas turbine-powered ship in our Navy, the first naval ship built in Ingalls West Bank Shipyard. There are other ways in which Spruance is unique or a first, and I point this out so that you may all understand and share our feeling that this is a very special occasion. For those of us who participated in the construction of the ship, these firsts represent some real achievements. It is a distinct privilege to have with us today a number of distinguished guests, both on the platform and in the audience. I will introduce Representative Trent Lott, Congressman from 5th District of Mississippi, which includes Pascagoula, Congressman Lott. Senator Stennis has extended his regrets that he cannot be here today, but we do have with us a representative from his office, and I would like to ask her to stand up, please. This is E.J. Sanderson and her husband, Colonel Sanderson. The platform with us, Mr. Raymond A. Spruance, the second, grandson of Mrs. Spruance and the late Admiral Spruance. Admiral Isaac C. Kidd, United States Navy Commander-in-Chief, U.S. Atlantic Fleet. Admiral Frederick H. Michaelis, Chief of Naval Materiel, representing Admiral Holloway, Chief of Naval Operations today. Mr. Charles B. Thornton, Chairman of the Board of Litton Industries. Vice Admiral R.E. Adamson, Commander Naval Surface Forces, U.S. Atlantic Fleet. Vice Admiral James Doyle, Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Surface Warfare. Rear Admiral William H. Rogers, Deputy Commander Naval Surface Forces, U.S. Pacific Fleet. Captain W.C. Wyatt, Project Manager for the Spruance class, representing Commander Naval Sea Systems Command, Vice Admiral Gooding. Mr. Leonard Err, Vice President of Litton Industries and President of Ingalls Shipbuilding, who has things to say to us. Secretary Clemens, Mrs. Spruance, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, we at Ingalls Shipbuilding feel a tremendous pride today in delivering this fine ship to the United States Navy. And I can tell you that each of the 23,000 employees are dedicated to delivering the 29 sister ships in a timely fashion. I have the privilege to read a telegram that we received from Senator John Stennis. Quote, "Greetings and congratulations to the workers and management of Ingalls Shipbuilding on the commissioning of DD-963 and continued progress of the entire DD-963 family. Today's event is a milestone for the shipyard. Moreover, this is a lasting tribute to the outstanding dedication by the many thousands of men and women who have worked diligently to make this the best shipyard in the nation. I would like to extend a special welcome to Secretary Clemens. We are certainly proud to have you in Mississippi and at Ingalls. With best wishes, I am your friend, John C. Stennis, United States Senator. Thank you."
His
now my pleasure to introduce Rear Admiral Julian T. Burke, Commandant of the 6th Naval District, who has been authorized by the Chief of Naval Operations to place Spruance in commission. Admiral Burke is a native of Alexandria, Virginia. He graduated in the class of 1940 at the Naval Academy. Admiral Burke assumed duties as Commandant of the 6th Naval District on December 13, 1974. Admiral Burke.
Officers, ship's company of the Spruance. It's a privilege to be here. My role in the commissioning is that the commandant of the 6th Naval District, in which Mississippi is a part, is the agent for the Chief of Naval Operations to receive all ships that are constructed for the Navy within the district and to place them in commission when ready. It is now my pleasure to introduce Dr. David S. Potter, who is a native of the state of Washington. He's an accomplished individual in the field of academics, corporate and management, in science, and in government, and he is a significant contributor in the area of public affairs at the national, state, and local level. 2 years ago, he was appointed as the Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Research and Development, and last year he was elevated to his present position, the Undersecretary of the Navy. Dr. Potter.
Thank you, Admiral Burke. The Navy is very proud to add the Spruance-class destroyer to the fleet, and in doing so, to recognize the tremendous contributions of that outstanding hero and naval officer, Admiral Raymond A. Spruance. The commissioning of Spruance marks the official entry of what we know will be a truly outstanding class ship. I think the presence here today of such senior flag officers as Admiral Kidd and Admiral Michaelis attest to the significance which Navy places on this event. And much credit must go to Ingalls for designing and building this superb ship. Also, I think the clear evidence of the fellowship is heartwarming to a Navy which desperately needs to add ships to the fleet. I would now like to turn to my very pleasant duty of introducing our distinguished speaker. Mr. Clements is a native of Dallas, Texas, received his education in Dallas Public Schools and at Southern Methodist University. He was nominated to be the Deputy Secretary of Defense in January of 1973, and it is my great honor to present the Honorable William P. Clements, the Deputy Secretary of Defense. Mr. Secretary.
Thank you, Dave. I am pleased to be here with you today and honored to participate in commissioning the destroyer Spruance, first ship of the class and latest in a distinguished line of fighting destroyers. Admiral Spruance was many things during his lifetime, a husband, a father, a grandfather, but most importantly to us today, a naval officer. What would you like to be if you had your life to live over? Admiral Halsey once asked him. A naval officer, Spruance replied. He was a naval officer, a superb professional naval officer who devoted his life to his nation and to his Navy. I would like to share with you my view of the role reserved for this ship and for our naval forces in general. Most of you know that the job expected of a destroyer is anti-submarine warfare, action against other ships, and against shore targets. Spruance brings to these tasks the modern technology that's available today. Gas turbine main propulsion, which will achieve full power within 12 minutes. The finest active sonar in the world. The special role reserved for this man of war is clear. What is apparently not so well understood today is the importance of sea power to our survival as a nation. The United States is an island nation with a shoreline exceeding 88,000 miles in predominantly temperate climates. We enjoy free and unlimited access to two major oceans of the world. The emergence of the United States as a world power was the result of the rapid expansion of our industrial base and the coincident development of foreign trade. During the period from our industrial development until the end of World War II, we were relatively self-sufficient in abundant energy and cheap raw materials. Today, with only 7% of the world's population, we consume almost 40% of these raw materials. Although we still have vast quantities of natural resources, we must now import significant quantities of these increasingly expensive raw materials and energy sources to support our industrial base. The day of cheap, readily accessible raw materials and energy sources upon which the industrial might of this nation was founded is long since past. An even more important consideration is the volume of our foreign trade, the lifeblood of our economy, a lifeblood that moves by sea. 70% of U.S. trade is with nations across the sea. More than 99% of our raw materials and foreign trade moves by sea. These factors have naturally affected our alliance structure. Other than Canada and Mexico, our allies are overseas. Western Europe and Japan are themselves maritime nations. The Western Alliance is an oceanic alliance predicated on the capability of full and free utilization of the seas. The primary mission of the United States Navy is to maintain control of the seas and to ensure our continued free use of international waterways wherever and whenever required. As I look to the future, it is clear that the requirement for our naval forces will continue and become increasingly important. National security planners must always be sure our naval forces are structured to have the ability to operate without diplomatic constraints, base rights, overflight privileges, or the pressures of host countries. The ability to move wherever national interests dictate and without prior agreement from any foreign power. This provides the United States with a credible military force over all the oceans with an ability to project power ashore in areas which contain 85% of the world's population. The ability to provide military presence without an automatic commitment of forces. The ability to clearly demonstrate U.S. interest and capability without disclosing precise intentions. This outstanding ship is one way in which we meet our responsibilities to ourselves and all freedom-loving people throughout the world, doing all we can to provide a peaceful and stable world for a free society. In truth, this is not a warship, it's a peace ship. And so, ladies and gentlemen, join me as we are gathered here to commission this ship and to honor the memory of Admiral Spruance. Join me in wishing Captain Harbert, his officers and men, fair winds and following seas. May God bless this ship and all who sail in her. Thank you.
I will now read the commissioning order for Spruance, which I have received from the Chief of Naval Operations to Commandant 6th Naval District. Subject, commissioning order for Spruance, DD 963. When Spruance, DD 963, is in all respects ready on 20 September 1975, you are requested to place her in commission, special, and direct the commanding officer to report by message to the Commander Naval Surface Force, U.S. Atlantic Fleet, and report a change of status to in commission on completion of the contractual test period prior to reporting to the Fleet Commander-in-Chief. Signed, E.W. Cook, Deputy Chief of Naval Operations Logistics. In accordance with this authority, I hereby place the United States ship Spruance in commission. It is now my pleasure to introduce Commander Raymond J. Harbreck, USN, Commanding Officer, USS Spruance. Captain Harbreck.
Thank you, Admiral Burke. I will read my orders. From the Chief of Naval Personnel to Commander Raymond John Harbreck, United States Navy. One directed, detached duty under instruction at the United States Naval War College, Newport, Rhode Island. Proceed to Pascagoula, Mississippi. Report by letter to Commander Naval Surface Force, U.S. Atlantic Fleet, for temporary duty as prospective commanding officer in connection with fitting out Spruance, DD 963, and for duty as commanding officer, USS Spruance, DD 963, when placed in commission. Signed, David H. Bagley, Vice Admiral, United States Navy, Chief of Naval Personnel. Admiral Burke, I accept command of the United States ship Spruance. Commander Wagner, set the first watch.
From this moment onward, as long as the USS Spruance serves, this watch will be kept, day and night, in peace or war, on the high seas or in port. Now, the USS Spruance takes her officers and crew aboard. The ship surges from steel and instruments into a real and vibrant life. Up the gangplanks, along the rails, even up high on her superstructure, the white uniforms stand side by side in the sun. More than 250 make up the ship's company. But due to all the modern technologies incorporated in the ship's design, the Spruance rosters 100 less men than have been required for ships of this size. The applause you hear is from an audience deeply moved as the Spruance finds the cadence of its heartbeat, this memorable and so special moment of an operational life beginning.
Admiral Adamson, I report as directed. Commander Wagner, break the flag of the Deputy Secretary of Defense. Mrs. Spruance, Secretary Clements, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, officers, men, and families of USS Spruance. By this ceremony, the traditional acts performed by the party on this platform, United States ship Spruance DD-963 has officially come alive, commencing a period of service to our country, which will extend into the next century. This magnificently designed ship is the culmination of the efforts of countless of thousands of people extending over a period of 10 years. I would like to single out two groups of men and women to who I, as a commanding officer, feel a particular debt of gratitude. First, I consider it appropriate to recognize the performance of Ingalls Shipbuilding. Designing, building, and outfitting an entirely new ship is a task of staggering dimensions. The shipyard has overcome a number of temporary setbacks to produce the ship that you see before you today. Mr. Earp, please pass to the men and women of Ingalls our appreciation and congratulations for what they've accomplished. Secondly, I would be remiss if I did not publicly acknowledge the superb efforts of Captain Jack Smith, the officers and men of the fleet induction team over the past 2 years. Monitoring the final stages of construction and the work of originating and assembling the myriad instructions, publications, and manuals required to administer a naval ship are tasks which have historically been accomplished by a nucleus of the ship's crew. In the case of Spruance, the fleet introduction team has been charged with this responsibility. Jack, please extend my personal thanks to the Pitt team. I can assure you that you'll share in our future successes. I would like to address my remaining brief comments to the officers and men of the commissioning crew. As of today, we who man Spruance start recording the events that will become the history of this ship's accomplishments. The manner in which we approach each and every task will determine our overall readiness and the reputation which we earn in the fleet. In this regard, it is appropriate that we establish as our goal to strive in our day-to-day performance to emulate the professional standards of the man for whom this ship is named. By achieving this goal on a continuing basis, there is little question in my mind that Spruance will, in fact, be the first of the class. Based on our close association over the past year, I am confident that we will meet the challenge. Thank you. At this time, it's my privilege to reintroduce the gracious lady who is the sponsor of USS Spruance, Mrs. Raymond A. Spruance.
The widow of Admiral Spruance was there when this ship was christened and is here again for the commissioning. She presents a painting of her late husband and his staff, which is to hang permanently in the ship's wardroom. Having accepted it, Captain Harbreck had a gift for Mrs. Spruance.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Spruance, and I can assure you...
I'm just trying to leave.
...that this will have an appropriate place in our ship. Thank
very,
you.
Very nice. Thank you.
Mrs. Spruance, on behalf of the officers and men of the Spruance, we'd like to present you with this picture of the ship taken while it was out on sea trials.
Ah.
I'd like to read the inscription.
Yes, please, right? Very loud now.
USS Spruance, named in honor of Admiral Raymond A. Spruance, 1889-1969. Distinguished naval officer and leader of decisive battles in World War II. Presented by the officers and crew, the ship sponsor, Mrs. Raymond A. Spruance, on the occasion of commissioning, 20 September 1975.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Ingalls President Leonard Erb adds a touching postscript of his own.
Many things have been said about the good ship's Bruins today, but one thing we haven't said, and that is I understand your radio voice call will be Quiet Warrior.
Yes, sir. That was at our request.
And we, Ingalls Shipbuilding and Ludden Industries, would like the ship to have this gift in remembrance of a special day. It's a biography of Admiral Raymond A. Spruan. It's autographed by the author, Thomas E. Buell, and it's inscribed. This copy, The Quiet Warrior, belongs forever to the proud Navy ship of the Spruan's class destroyer. Congratulations, Captain.
Thank you very much. Needless to say, we are very proud.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
There was an Admiral Spruance. He was of such dimension that a great new ship bears his name, and 29 more would be of its class. He is a major dominating character in our film, Midway. He is the subject of a well-read and studied biography, a book called Quiet Warrior. An example of leadership has become a fighting ship, a lasting tradition. An effective tool of our national security and our alliances with other countries. The Ingalls Shipbuilding Division of Lytton Industries, the birthplace of the Spruance class, was a gamble by a company which believed such a new concept facility would be needed by the United States. This was in the Spruance style, as he took chances too. The Midway offensive being won. Now those of us who knew and admired Admiral Spruance as I did, believe he would have enjoyed and would have been humbled by these ceremonies, but nothing would have pleased him more. So a man who gave us victories in another time, lifted us up and gave us a feeling of pride, now gives us a vigorous inspiration on film, in a book, and all the great ships of the Spruance class. This is Glenn Ford at Universal Studio in Hollywood.